Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
G major, here you go. One and two and short and four and...
Those young musicians you're hearing attend the Conservatory Lab Charter School in Boston. Being in a school band or choir is a rite of childhood for many kids, but can learning to play a musical instrument, especially at a young age, have benefits for the brain?
A growing body of evidence says yes, it can. And exciting new research on the neurological connections between musical training and language development is the subject of the latest story in our series, Brain Matters, reporting from the front lines of neuroscience.
In a few minutes, we'll talk with one expert about how music training could change the structure of the brain. But first, we're joined by WBUR's George Hicks, who reported today's story. George, thanks for coming in.
It's good to be here, Sasha.
And George, we should establish off the bat that what you reported today in your piece is different than the idea of the Mozart effect, or that listening to music could somehow make you smarter. This isn't just about listening.
That's right. Listening is great, and it's relaxing, and it makes us move, and it's distracting, but the scientific research is pretty skeptical. Just plugging in your iPod isn't going to make you smarter. But learning to play an instrument or even singing is a whole other thing. And it engages a bunch of brain networks, your auditory system, your motor system, and your executive functioning. And they work together almost like a musical ensemble.
Is there a way to give a real-life example that if you're on the piano or any other instrument and you're playing, say, a beautiful piece of classical music, what's happening in your brain that could be improving your brain?
Well, the scientists are starting to show us strong connections between musical instruction and things like speech recognition and comprehension, and the ability to recognize emotion in speech, and the ability to switch between tasks. And there's a whole lot of other things that they don't typically look at in schools. Testing like emotional maturity, social skills, stick-to-itiveness, and just developing a sense of aesthetics.
You reported on some studies that have shown direct links between playing music and these kind of improvements in brain function.
Yes, here in Boston, Nadine Gobb is a neuropsychologist at Children's Hospital. She's primarily studying children's brain development through neuroimaging. But she and her colleagues are also looking for connections between musical training and language development. Initially, they thought that music is training your ear, it's training your auditory system, and that's what helps you with language and reading and other academic skills. But what they found in a study that they published last month was a strong connection in both children and adults between learning to play an instrument and improved executive functioning.
Which are skills such as?
Like problem solving, switching between tasks, and focus. Executive function is sort of the management of your brain.
And some of the research on music isn't really coming out of neuroscience lab. It's happening in classroom contexts. For example, you spoke with a Brazilian musician. Tell us what he's doing and what he's found.
Paulo Andrade is a Brazilian guitarist and a music teacher, and he noticed that there might be a connection in his young students between their musical development and their reading and writing skills. So he set out to test that, and he came up with a very, very simple test that simply involves the whole classroom listening to him play a sequence of chords on his guitar. And I'll let him describe what happens.
I asked children to write visual symbols to represent the sound sequence they were hearing. A simple line to express chords in the high register, and a circle to represent the chords played on the low register. For instance, ting, tum, tum, ching. And then I counted the same meter for them. One, two, three, four. And then they start to write.
So what Andrade found was that children who had severe difficulty with this task were the ones who were struggling most with reading and writing.
George, several of the researchers you interviewed also had interesting thoughts on what a loss they believe it is that oftentimes when school budgets need to be cut, music is what goes first.
Yeah, one of them said to me that it's almost as if music is considered a frill At a time when schools more and more are focusing on what they call STEM courses, core curriculum, it just doesn't leave a lot of room for music and the arts. And it's ironic at a time when the neuroscience is really beginning to show concrete examples of how music instruction influences higher brain functions.
That's WBUR's George Hicks, whose report on music and the brain is part of our series Brain Matters, reporting from the front lines of neuroscience. And you can find his story at radioboston.org. George, thank you.
You're welcome, Sasha.
And now with me in the studio is Ani Patel. He's an associate professor of psychology at Tufts University. He's author of the book Music, Language, and the Brain. And he was interviewed in George's story this morning. Professor Patel, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello.
And Professor, we have heard, all of us, I think, since we were kids, that you should make your kids take piano lessons or play an instrument because it's good for them. So can you tell us, based on your research, what is happening in the brain physically when we play an instrument that is beneficial for the brain?
Well, playing an instrument involves the integration of many different brain functions. There's motor planning, there's imagery, there's memory, of course, there's selective attention, there's the ability to stay on task, to ignore distractions, all the complex sequencing you have to do when you play an instrument, the reading of symbolic notation. These are multiple things you have to integrate and do at the same time. And when you do that in the context of music, and you enjoy music, and I think that's very important, because forcing a child to take lessons, if the child doesn't enjoy the experience, the chance that they're going to get something rewarding out of it from a brain science perspective is less, because we know positive emotion or strong emotion actually is one of the drivers of changes in brain structure and function.
But even if you don't enjoy it, could there be benefits to the brain happening despite how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, the analogy would be if you force a child to play a sport and they don't particularly like it, but they play it regularly and they get better at it, you know, they will improve. And
they get strong.
Yeah, they get strong and fit, and they may not particularly like it, but you'll see some benefits. And I think probably the same is true of music. But it's really when the brain feels the pleasure of music that I think that's the magic of music in the brain, combining highly demanding cognitive tasks with pleasure and repetition and emotion, attention, and that's a recipe for brain plasticity and improving brain function.
There are many people who took piano lessons for a while, or they played flute or clarinet, and now it's in a closet, dusty somewhere.
Yes.
Do you know from your research whether dabbling for a little bit versus playing for a long time and getting really good benefits the brain? Does the latter benefit the brain more? So how much do you have to play an instrument to really feel like you've advanced your brain?
Well, that's an interesting question. Actually, there was a study published a couple of years ago by Dr. Nina Kraus at Northwestern, and she looked at the kinds of people you're talking about, people that played an instrument as a kid and then gave it up, and she compared certain aspects of their speech processing using brain measures to people that never had played a musical instrument. And she actually saw some lasting improvements in the people that had played a musical instrument, which was encouraging for all those people that gave up. But they weren't as strong as people who were actively playing.
Many people think of playing music like learning another language, almost a foreign language. Do you think it's a fair analogy?
It is at some level, yes. I mean, taking on a demanding new task for the brain that uses your brain in a new way there's a bit of an analogy there. And it turns out that people that are good at music and have musical training are, in fact, better at picking up certain aspects of foreign languages, like this in particular, the speech sounds, making the sounds correctly.
Oh, interesting. What else might you be good at? You know, for example, we heard George say you'll be better at so-called executive functioning skills. Where else might you excel in life because you played flute or clarinet or piano or any other instrument?
Well, since I'm here at Boston University, I'll tell you about a study I'm doing in collaboration with Ganesh Swaminathan and Gerald Kidd here at Boston University. And we're looking at musicians versus non-musicians' ability to hear speech in noise. Now, hearing speech and noise is something we all have to do, and people vary a lot in their ability to do this.
Pick out sound out of the din, basically?
Yes, the cocktail party problem. Uh-huh. You're trying to understand one voice in a crowded room, and this is something that people can have great difficulty with, particularly as if they have hearing loss or as they get older. And even normal listening people who seem to be normal if you test their hearing, there's great variability in how well they do this task. Well, we found recently that musically trained people are significantly better than musically non-trained people at understanding speech in noise. And one of the reasons may be tied to what Nadine Gobb talked about, this business of executive function, being able to focus on one signal and ignore competing signals that are trying to get your attention at some level in the cognitive processing.
Interesting. And I've probably only given you 10 seconds to answer this, but we've spoken so much about how music, playing an instrument, helps younger people. Mm-hmm. Do we also assume that in your older years, say you want to fight off dementia, can music benefit you or playing an instrument benefit you as well?
Yes, actually, there is now some evidence that active musical engagement in older adults does have some delays the onset of dementia and so forth. So there's a lot of interest, but not much research on music in older individuals.
Ani Patel is an associate professor of psychology at Tufts University. Thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you.